As you know, we're going through the Lord's Prayer in our study time here at church. And if you want to follow, you can look it up in Matthew chapter 6. You can follow along. You know, I, like everyone else, learned to memorize the Lord's Prayer at a very young age. And have always enjoyed reciting the Lord's Prayer. Every time I hear it, every time I recite it, it always has a very warm feel about it. And I always feel as though, you know, I'm just drawing closer to God. And to think that this was a prayer that Jesus prayed, a prayer that he taught his disciples. How much more we should be reading and also be reciting and praying the Lord's Prayer. There was a group of seminary students who were visiting London, and part of what they wanted to do while they were in London was to visit a church that had a group of very famous preachers. They thought, well, we'll just go and we're going to listen to some good preaching. And so they came to this church. It was a very hot summer day. And a large group had gathered, and they were waiting there in line. And while they were waiting in line, a very fine gentleman walked up to them and said, "How would you men like to see our heating system?" Now, that was kind of a strange thing to say. It was a hot summer day. Their heating system? Well, the young men followed this gentleman, and he led them down into the basement of this church. And as they walked through the basement, the young men were looking at it like, he's going to show us the heating system? They finally got to a door, and as he opened that door, he quietly opened the door, and they looked into this room, and there were 700 people on their knees praying. That gentleman who showed those ministerial students through that church was none other than Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. And he said, whenever God wants to do a great work, he first sets his people to praying. The disciples recognized that there was a connection. That there was a connection between power and prayer. And so when they came to Jesus, they didn't say, "Teach us how to have power." Because they had already seen that Jesus spent much time in prayer talking to his Heavenly Father. They already made that connection. They already knew where the power was in Jesus' life. It was because he spent time in prayer with his Father in heaven. And so when they came to Jesus, they said, "Teach us to pray." Have you made that connection in your life? Do you understand the power of prayer? Have there been experiences in your life that you can look back at and say, "I know that it was the power of God, it was prayer that performed that miracle, or it was prayer that gave me the strength or the courage, or it was prayer that helped me through that experience." Jesus repeatedly found places to pray to his Father in heaven. He felt that it was important to pray and to connect with his Father. And so he taught his disciples to connect with heaven. And the first thing that comes out of our mouths is, "Father, our Father, our Father." We talked about what that meant last week. Our Father which art in heaven. You know what Jesus is saying to his disciples and to us today? He's saying, if you want power in your life, the key is prayer. Prayer is the key that releases the power of God. You know, so often we think that God just kind of does his thing, you know. And we try to sort of keep up, or we try to jump on the bandwagon. You know, God's out there, he's working, you know, and that's fine, and somehow we'll connect with him as he's out there working. But that's not how I see it. As I read the scriptures, as I read this passage of scripture, I recognize and I realize that it's prayer that unlocks the power of God. Jesus knew that. And he's teaching it to his disciples. Okay, so guys, let's dream for a minute here. And the ladies can dream along with us, but maybe a little more vicariously. I have the key here. Let's dream a little, okay? This is really not a key to a Ferrari or a Bugatti, but let's say this is a key to a very expensive exotic car, one that you like. I don't know. That might be, each of us may have a different opinion of what the most expensive, nicest exotic car is out there. But it's a very powerful car. It has huge engine, 700 to 1,000 horsepower. Incredible power. And this is the key to that car. It's parked out here in the parking lot. All right? Now, the key is a gift. Okay? We can talk about the key. We can say we own the key to a Ferrari. We can sit in that car. We can enjoy the soft, cushiony seats and the smell of that Corinthian leather, and we can enjoy that beautiful red paint job, if that's your favorite color, it's mine. And we can just soak up all the beauty and the ambience of being in that car. But if we don't put the key in the ignition and turn it, we will never experience what it means to drive a Ferrari with 600 or 700 horsepower, depending on which models you get. You'll never experience it. You have the key. The key's been given to you. But you've got to put the key in the ignition, and you've got to release that power. You've got to ignite that power. And so, the same is true. That's how it is with God's power. The key doesn't make the power, right? The power is in the engine. The key only releases the power. Do you see the difference? You know, just because you believe in prayer, just because you believe, well, yeah, that's part of being a Christian. You know, I pray, I believe in prayer, and, you know, I do my 2 times a day, 3 times a day, or I drive while I'm driving down the freeway, I pray to God. You know, I pray to God all the time. I'm always praying. And that's good. We should be always in prayer. But we need to be specific in our prayers. You see, Jesus is very specific in this prayer that he's teaching the disciples. He is saying, "Our Father in heaven," locative of place, sphere, whatever you want to call it. He's in heaven. Okay? The key doesn't make the power of the engine. It only releases the power. Now, having the key, of course, means that we are responsible for it. Okay? You have the key. The key is your prayer life. That's the key. You are responsible for that key. How many of you lose your keys fairly regularly? Oh, I'll confess. Come on. I know more of you do. You know? I was talking to my friend the other day, as I was talking on the phone, I was running around the house looking for my keys. You know, that in itself is a danger, because that, for man, that's double tasking, you know. Talking on the phone and looking for your key. It's bad enough to do one or the other, but then to do both. Anyways, and so I'm telling him how, you know, I'm looking for my key as I'm talking on the phone and I'm looking around, you know, and he says, well, you know what I do? I have a hook that I hang my keys on by the door every night when I go in the house, and when I leave it, I always know where they are. I said, well, good for you. You know, I don't have that hook, see? So I guess I better get one. But you see, sometimes we can stray in our prayer life. Sometimes we can lose the key and then we have to go looking for it. Okay? Having the key means we're responsible for it. If we never use the key, listen to this. If we never use the key, most likely nothing will ever happen. Okay? If we never use the key, most likely nothing will ever happen. Someone wrote this. I thought it was important. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray when prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse? Did you hear that? Let me say it again. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray when prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse? Do you like it? Wow. It's powerful, isn't it? Here's another one. Through prayer, we are brought into connection with the mind of the infinite. Okay, is your head clear? I'm going to say it again. This one really put me on a spin. Through prayer, we are brought into connection, all right? Connection with the mind of the infinite. Who's the infinite? It's God. Do you want to connect with the mind of God? Prayer is the key in the hand of faith to connect with the mind of the infinite. Prayer is more than just chanting something over and over. It's more than reciting the same thing over and over and over again. It is a connection, a vital connection that we need with God. And Jesus knew that. That's why he taught his disciples to say, "Our Father in heaven." You see, the vast majority of this world worships, they worship gods, plural, gods. And the gods reside here. I like the idea that our God is in heaven. And while we are still on this earth, as finite human beings, we can still reach our hand up there and place it on the altar in heaven, and we can connect our minds with the infinite, eternal God. I like that. That's powerful. You know, if you want power running through your life, then connect with your Heavenly Father. Put that key in the ignition of heaven and turn it. The Bible says, ask and it shall be what? Given. Do you believe that? If it says ask, if God told us, if Jesus told us to ask, then He means it. Ask and it shall be what? Given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Do you understand? Do you know what it means? It means that if you ask, you will receive. This is not, well, if I ask, well, maybe I'll receive. Or possibly. What are my chances? What percent? You know, no. It says, if you ask, you shall receive. Okay? So part of our prayer life needs to be asking God. Okay? God, it was once said that God only moves in power in those who ask. God only moves in power in those who ask. If you don't ask, you're like, well, I have to go back to my motorhead analogies, you know. Guys, when I use the word motorhead, most of you don't understand what a motorhead is. It's somebody that just loves cars. And I'm a motorhead, okay? I got gears up here, all right? So it's like getting into your car, Bill, and having a full tank of gas, and the car's ready to go, and you don't even put the key in the ignition and turn it on. How far are you going to go? Right? Car's ready to go. Everything's all systems check out. Gas tank is full. All you have to do is put the key in and turn it. You got to ask. Because it releases God's power. Check it out. When you call upon your Father in heaven, you are reaching out and up and putting the key in the ignition. In the ignition. And releasing the power of God in your life. Yeah, I every so often when I want a cheap thrill, I get into my old junky Corvette that sits out in the driveway that the whole neighborhood hates. It's not that bad, really, but I mean, you know, thing never moves anywhere. But I love to start that thing up because, man, listening to 350 horsepower rumble is great. You turn that key, you know, and it gets worse now because the battery's getting dead. But it's vroom, there's this incredible rumble, you know. And I'm like a kid when I'm sitting in that thing. I like to step on the gas, and I love to hear that thing just ram, 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 you know. And the neighbors all open, look out the window. Well, that's that him, you know, Munson again. He's at it again. Corvette never goes anywhere, but the engine starts every so often. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Where does God live? Well, according to the Lord's Prayer, He lives in heaven. That's where He that's His home. So how then do we connect with our Heavenly Father? Through prayer. By putting the key in the ignition and turning the key. Our Father in heaven is utterly unique. He is one of a kind. He cannot be put in a box. He will not be labeled. He is uncomparable. He is the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Omnipotent One, grace and long-suffering. He is glorious. He is powerful. He has unlimited power. He is the Sovereign Lord of all. The all-seeing one, the beginning and the end, Alpha and the Omega. And this is our Father in heaven. This is our Father in heaven. Huh. Even more than that, more than anything else, you get a sense that God is holy. God is holy. And when we come into God's presence, and I know it's hard because our minds are so totally overloaded with all the cares and all the concerns and all the things that happen to us during the week and through our lives, and our brains get just so totally fried on everything. But there's one thing that when we come into this place, when we come and we say, "Our Father which art in heaven," doesn't that make you feel, and doesn't that make you realize that God is holy? I don't know. I need to worship at this point. I asked the team last minute here if they would just help us at this point in the sermon. I can't go any farther, and I think we need to worship God just a little bit more. So I've asked them if they would just lead us in a song of worship as we come close to the end of our presentation this morning. God, as we lift our faces up to You, we cry, Holy, holy art Thou, O God. Our hearts are warmed by the presence of Your Holy Spirit. We stand in the warmth of Your love and Your grace. And we realize that we are but mortals and we are sinful and in need of redemption. And we thank You for that gift that You've given to us. And Lord, as we reach out to You in our prayers, realizing that we are human and You are God, we thank You that we can call upon You as our Father in heaven. Holy is Your name. Holy and lifted up art Thou, O God, above all nations. We worship You. We praise You. And we thank You for all that You are and all that You give and all that You do on our behalf. We pray these things in Your most precious and holy name. Amen.